Hello, welcome to a fun-packed Mac show. And when I mean fun, I don't mean it's going to be any fun. It's going to be horrible. And when I mean packed, I mean, look at all this lot. Muller has clearly been taking drugs. Muller does all our bookings. And I said, yeah, Dave, that'd be great. So there's new chap, Dave Ginsburg. And Jeff said, yeah, Dave would be great. So we've added him in. But Muller forgot to take someone else out. So here we go. A 7-strong panel to discuss the week in Apple. It's never happened before. And, well, it will happen again. Who am I kidding?
Yeah, good thing it's in a week where we have something to discuss.
Joining me, a stunning and immense, overly weighted panel of tech luminaries. I was going to leave someone out there, but I won't. Starting off top, the man from Twit, Dark Rock. Dude, are you even going to talk to us now?
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out why you call me overweight.
No. Overloaded, I think was the word. There's a distinct difference.
Thank you, man.
No, overloaded is not overweight, mate. That's not what I'm saying. Okay. Moving on swiftly.
I thought you said overly weighted panel, and I was like, I was trying, but, you know, it's COVID. You gotta have snacks.
Nothing but, mate. Nothing but snacks.
I mean, lots of snacks.
I'd like to ask how you are.
I'm good. I'm fantastic.
How was Twit the other night?
I was treated well, you know. They didn't say anything bad about me. What they said about Jeff, on the other hand, was a different story.
Oh, no. What did they say about my man Jeff?
No, I'm teasing. It was good.
Jeff, I was hoping you're going to have like a great one-liner to go with that.
Yeah, that was the plan, but then you were slow. You were in the mountain lion time.
Yeah.
You have to be fast if you have a mountain lion.
Yeah. Well, they're always in the tree, so it depends on how fast Jeff can get up the tree.
I'm just sitting trying to figure out how I'm going to do a view of everyone in it. And the easiest way is if I just piss off out of the way and just leave you lot to talk. It's just can't do a multi-view. Oh, man. So are you well, dude?
Yes, absolutely.
Good, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Like to hear. Do you know what? This is going to be 45 minutes of intros and about 2 seconds of news because we did the What's It show on Tuesday. So I haven't even got a hotkey button to press. Next to him, Patrice, how you doing, Mrs.?
Hi, doing good. It has been definitely a weird week, but also a good week.
Mate, I feel like I've taken acid today. Good grief.
Yeah, there's definitely something to that.
Bit of acid, bit of LSD, Mac show.
That works. I mean,
we got
how's that different than any other Mac show?
I was just sitting thinking we got a few in the chat room, but they're just us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's definitely Muller and Joe, so it's like
yeah, Muller's, a couple people. Muller's here to watch the train wreck that he caused.
Well, there's I see Tom, I see Martin, I see a couple people, so it's not completely empty.
No Bob Beach again, because he's still having dinner, probably.
Yeah. Never mind.
He hasn't finished his dinner from last night. He wouldn't come on the big show because he was still eating. What? Sacrilege. Next to him, Mr. Haircut 100. Jeffrey.
Well, that must be me.
Mate, you've had a haircut. Where's the wings gone?
Well, what happened was the other day, Angela said, I cannot look at you like this anymore, and went and got the scissors.
But those are America's wings, man.
Don't worry, my hair grows really fast. Give it a week or two, and we'll have America's wings again.
Excellent, mate.
You know who you look like? Luke Skywalker.
yeah,
definitely. That haircut, that works.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Now I just need a lightsaber.
No, he looks like Luke Skywalker and Obi-Wan's love child, mum's love child.
Well, maybe.
He's got a touch of, he's got the Luke haircut, but with the Obi-Wan tash.
True, yeah.
I don't know. This is sounding better all the time.
Go on, say these are not the droids you're looking for.
These are not the droids you're looking for. Move along.
Can't you do it in character?
That's as
I mean, Greeny's crap, but at least maybe Greeny's going to dial in a minute, actually. But Greeny's crap, but at least he tries.
You don't even want me to try and do a British accent.
Oh, yes, we really do. No.
Now you've said it. I
double dare you.
It just sounds like I have a stuffed up nose. I'm serious.
I'm not cutting away till you try.
All right. These are not the dreads you're looking for.
That's better than green. That's better than Greenies.
Oh, well, all right.
Damn, that, you should do that more often, mate. That's nearly as good as my Nixon.
You know, your Nixon was a lot of fun.
Not
you even
good.
Got the body moves in with it. It was great.
But not good. Next to him, a man who's sitting thinking, holy shit, what have I done? David Ginsburg.
How you doing?
Nice to meet you, Dave.
Yeah, you guys are a lot of fun, and I knew what I was getting myself into, but happy to be here. And
Dave, we've only been running 6 minutes.
I know.
Wait till we get to near
the end. Got a long way to go here yet.
Wait till we get near the end and we finish the bottle of wine that we started. tell us about yourself, Dave. Who are you? What do you do? And why the hell have you come here?
I'm an IT professional. I've been doing that over 20 years. I've been doing the podcast In Touch with iOS for about the last 4 years. Many on this panel have been on the show and been having a lot of fun doing that. So I figured why not branch out and visit you guys and see how it goes. But I've been doing that for 4 years now, enjoying it. And, kind of a hobby more than anything else. And,
that's how this started and all.
Yeah. And working in the business world is always fun.
Excellent, mate. As with all our colonial brothers, you are more than welcome on the British Tech Network, mate. No problem at all.
Thank you.
Next to him, someone, my golfing brother, who I've never played golf with, but I fully intend to before the day I die. Chuck Joyner, how the devil are you, mate?
I'm good, Ewan, and that sounds like a plan. Where are we going to play?
Oh, you got to come over to Birmingham and play here, and I'll get you in at the Forest of Arden, which is a European tour course, and I'll get you on at the Belfry on the Brabazon course, which is the Ryder Cup course.
Ooh, that sounds. Now all we have to do is get COVID over so they let the planes fly again.
Well, you come and isolate at our place for 2 weeks. We can drink for 2 weeks, and then we can go and play 2 rounds of golf, and you can bugger off home.
Let's see. How many is that? That turned out to 4 weeks. Is that it? I can. That might work.
4 weeks that for two rounds of golf, but man, there'll be the 2 rounds of golf you remember for the rest of your life. Especially if we get the beer cast.
Is it true that the UK golf is a full contact sport? If it is, I want to play.
Well, no, that's that. You say that, but I have actually played in a. I played with a friend, and he killed a goose while we were playing.
You see, that's hardcore golf right there.
He hit the. He was on the second at the Forest of Arden, and he got a rescue club out, and he hit it thin, which means it came out very fast and very low off the club, and it struck a goose in the head, and it had close to killed it, and he had to finish it off with a 7-iron.
There's some irony in killing a goose with a club that's called rescue.
But yeah, absolutely. But we were with my cousin, and my cousin said, "Are you going to pick that up and take it with you?" And he went, "What do you mean?" He said, "You should take that with you." And he said, "Why? Is it good eating?" He said, "Well," he said, "if you the best way to cook a Canada goose." And he said, "What's that?" He said, "Put it in the oven with a house brick." And he said, after put it on low, after 4 hours to 6 hours, he said, open the oven, take the goose, throw it away, and eat the house brick.
Yeah, I remember that story. I tell that story to this day.
That's next to him, it's Callum. How you doing, mate? I'm NMAX.
I'm all right, yeah. All good, yeah. I'm still getting over the fact that a goose was killed on a golf course.
To be fair, it took longer to kill all the witnesses. How are you doing, brother?
Yeah, good. Good. Been a busy-ish week over here, kind of steady. Kind of ticking over usual stuff.
Have they let you back up in the boardroom, or are you in the boiler room?
Now I'm in the I'm in the boardroom again.
Right. You're a valued member of staff now, clearly.
Oh,
absolutely. And last but by no means least, a man who sat there for now 20 minutes waiting to be introduced, thinking, why have I bothered? Brett Terpstra.
Well, and here's the thing, is I have an insurance adjuster coming in half an hour, so I got to take off before this is over anyway. I feel like I could have saved you a lot of trouble and just not shown up.
Yeah, but the fun wouldn't have been as good, mate. You've added to the fun here, definitely, Brett.
Yeah, we would have missed you.
I would have missed you.
Having just a few minutes of you, Brett, is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm currently in Australia taking a photograph of NGC 2467. It's going well.
If that's your loss adjuster, he's going to be late. That's not a text message from him.
So why are you interacting with the insurance industry, Brad?
Hail damage. I mean, our roof is old and it would have cost us $7,000 to replace, but then it hailed. And now hopefully we can get the insurance company to just pay for the whole roof.
Well, do you want some advice? I mean, do you guys want to take a sidebar here? Give him the words, give him the words to use. Make
I just was hoping he was okay. That was my concern.
Oh, we're all fine here.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, because when you're dying from something, your first thought is, oh, but I must remember to dial in for the Mac show at 4 p.m.
Totally.
Priorities.
That's 11 minutes, 12 minutes. That's all right. It's not too bad. I was quite impressed there. I thought that'd take me 25. The Week in Apple.
Well, and thanks for joining us this week, and we'll see you again next week.
Have a great week. Thanks for listening. Where can we get a hold of you? No. Right, so there was a keynote this week. We really screwed up here because we've got the meatiest story we've had all summer long, and we've got 8 opinions to get through. First talk, first served. Right, okay, so keynote week. Takeaways. Anyone got anything that they want to take away from it now that they've had a chance to digest it, think about it? Had their watch delivered? No, anyone had a watch delivered?
No, unfortunately not yet.
No, there's a few people have had them. Who can hear echoes? Someone says there's echoes. All right, okay. I'll try and sort the echoes out while someone gives us an opinion on the week.
I want Apple to do all of their media events like this, where it's all pre-recorded and nicely edited. That's just great. It flows so smoothly, and all of those laggy moments that we had to deal with in the past, where you watch some company try and demo their product, it's gone. I want Apple to do it like this just forever now.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they even had demos in it, but the demos were like, I don't know, 5 seconds, 10 seconds, I don't know. It felt very, very quick. Or basically... go ahead.
No, Dave, I just need to point something out to you here. If you wait to get in when there's a gap, you'll never talk. So dive in, dude.
Just dive.
Yeah.
I agree with Jeff. I mean, it had a great flow. I mean, all the events we've watched over the years, and you got all these vendors that come out or the developers, then you have to sit and go, oh God, I got to watch through this and get tired of it. But it was really well flowed. I was very pleased about that. And we got all the points across, got to be able to watch it, got the understanding, and we can bring it back to all of how we do it with our podcast and say, hey, yeah, this is what happened. It was a great event. I hope Apple does do it, keeps doing it. They may, because they're seeing how easy it is now, comparatively speaking. Even got a Craig Federighi bomb in place too. I thought that was great too.
Don't you think they missed the whoop though? Don't you think they missed the woo, woo, from all the crowd and stuff, all the employees that are there? And
if late night hosts can do it, Tim Cook can do it.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah,
but you know, I think it's really interesting because I agree with all of you. You know, this felt really good. So two things. First of all, if Apple does ever call an in-person event again when the times change, it's going to be a big deal. Second thing, they really set the bar for the production values, not just the announcements and the products themselves, but just the production value. It was fun to watch. Forget the products. It was just fun to watch with all the zooming around the Apple campus and what a great background. You know, so as opposed to some other companies who just pop up on stage somewhere and say, hey, this is what we got with no production value. I think they've set a bar here that's going to be hard to meet for a lot of other companies.
It felt like...
And there'd be no reason why they couldn't do both. For me, if they had an element that was in with an audience, and then kind of they show videos of them going off to different parts of, parts.
I mean, they've done that in the past, but I have a feeling that it was also freeing for Apple. I mean, I think they felt a little bit pressure, as far as Apple can even feel pressure, in the past to, like, I mean, they're flying out people from, like, sometimes all over the world. So they had to do, like, something that was substantial enough, like, time-wise. Let's do an hour and a half. Let's do 2 hours. Let's do even, I think they did 2 hour, 15 minutes sometimes. Mm. And now it was, like, an hour. They did exactly what they wanted, exactly what they needed, and not a minute, not really a minute more. Like, there was a little bit fun elements here and there and transitions, but overall, it was very, very tight. They got the points across, and that was it. So I think it's really freeing for Apple to at least it looks like.
It's not like they ever do a Q&A or anything, though, is it, afterwards? So, you know, it's not like the presentations aren't elongated because of the audience or because of a Q&A session. They're elongated because they feel that they have to do an hour and a half. I can't. The only thing I would say is that there's a difference between talking for an hour and a half and making a video for an hour and a half. It is it is a lot of hard work to make a video of that length. It's really hard, and you miss an awful lot as well to then proof check it. It's tough. I've made a couple of videos at half an hour, and I've been seriously fatigued at the end of that.
But I mean, that's why Apple has an in-house production team. Like, they have in-house video, we have had for years, in-house video production teams to do exactly this, and they have experience with that. So it's...
doesn't make the job any
easier. Yeah, it is hard. But if someone can do it, I mean, those are professionals.
You're far better.
You also have to remember that a lot of places when you go, even if you're dealing with a quote-unquote production house, right? The guys working at a production house have had to learn how to use Final Cut. The guys that made Final Cut learned how to use Final Cut when they were making Final Cut. So when they go to do all of their editing and stuff like that, it is, no matter what you do, going to be faster. They got their test machines. They got machines for the new stuff that's coming out. They have, you know, like, everything sort of in their position. So their production game is always going to be good. But then you take that and you just add to the, like, it seems like no time was wasted. You know, everything was moving. We always talk about pace, the pace of it here. The pace was good. The jokes were dumb but good. Punches at Intel, the like 5 or 6 snide little punches at Intel were just fantastic.
But those were ambitious transitions, Doc.
Huh?
Those were ambitious transitions, even for that was.
Oh yeah.
Way beyond a video production firm. That the transitions where they flew through the campus, flew past Federighi and that kind of stuff. That was movie level. Transition.
Mm-hmm. Well, idea of going down the esophageal thing that then turned into a heart that then came into the peace rainbow in the middle and then flying to the building, that was pretty much incredible. And there, I don't know if it's an actual room or just their TV room, but the, you know, the Fab Lab shot that they did twice now, I believe. That's pretty incredible, you know. And again, like you said, Ewan mentioned it. Right after, all the nerds are out super zooming, trying to see what all that stuff was on the back wall.
Yeah, and all the testing boards and everything that you could see.
Yes.
Oh, come on. You know that's a fake room. There's no way that's real.
Yeah. Well, no, we had a debate about the green screen.
Either it's a fake room, or they basically redressed the room that they use usually. They basically took everything out and just left the things in that they wanted.
We did have a debate about the green screen. Live, didn't we? And I said, if it is green screen, that's incredibly good, because Tim's shadow and reflection looked perfect in the floor, and there was reflection on the windows as well.
If it is fake, that means everything in it is very intentional, so it's worth looking into.
Yes. I believe it was green screen too, Ewan. And everyone says, but did it have any halos? I'm like, well, first of all, on the high-end level, it's not necessarily green. They use gray with Ultimat. I don't know if you remember the company Ultimat.
They do the high reflective stuff.
Yeah. So But they're probably at that level.
No halos. Come on.
Yeah, I mean...
Well, that halo is built into Keynote. It's an effect.
I'm talking about. And I'm only little shitty me.
I rewatched the video after, and I had to agree with you. And I, like, some things were probably green screened. But the Tim Cook shots, I mean, they were too good, and there were too many reflections in the glass or whatever. Okay. I mean, was it possible to do it in like
yeah, post? Well, the thing that probably makes me think...
Maybe Tim himself was CG.
Oh.
Oh, conspiracy.
Oh, man.
I'm just saying, technology.
Tim actually...
It's just AI running off an old Mac.
Tim was knocked over crossing Abbey Road. Hence the Black Mariah. He's actually been dead for 6 months, and that's why they're just doing the Jeff rumors now. So it sounds like there's a smooth transition, but actually they got Tim on life support in the basement. This is like Dave, the film, Dave.
Oh, yeah.
Tim had an accident in he got hit by an Uber, automated vehicle, and he's now in the basement on life support, and they've got a lookalike Tim in there, like a Saddam Hussein type thing, and he's doing the thing, and he's CGI, because the voice is different, he doesn't sound like a surfer dude, and I may be off.
We need to hand over that.
I may be off.
Or maybe there never was a Tim Cook, and this was just a whole made-up character. As the technology has gotten better, now we have an animatronic Tim.
They downloaded Steve Jobs and put him into Mrs. Doubtfire. No.
And then she got a driverless Uber to Apple Park.
I'm sorry, boys. That just sounds ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not much far. Yeah, never mind.
And you wonder why I don't get invited on other shows.
I don't get it.
Big Sur. I want to talk about Big Sur because the Beta 7's out for Big Sur to developers. Are we surprised we didn't get that in the last couple of days with 14 and all the other stuff? No. I felt like it might have come, but there was a bit of me was like, yeah, okay, I guess it hasn't come for a reason, but there was a bit of me thought it could have come. And at 7, you've got to say, well, it's got to be close, surely, to a GM now.
Is
he going to hit with the iPhone?
I wasn't surprised. I mean, last year's, actually, I don't remember ever having like a macOS update at the same time as iOS. Maybe very much at the beginning, but at least last couple of years.
This is not a typical
year. When they did it once, but that was a long time ago.
Leopard came out October 29th, and we've been on that last week of October pretty much the whole run through from Leopard to now.
I just think that there's a possibility that because it's 2020, right, Apple release OS 14 for TV, 7 for watches, 14 for iOS, and they released Big Sur all on the same day, and you go right and you hit update and everything, and 20 minutes later you're sat looking at four blank screens, absolutely, because it's 2020, right? Nothing works, and you can't go down to the Apple shop because it's closed because of COVID.
No, that's the thing. If iOS has shown us anything, it is that Apple software is on time. Like, it was exactly on time with the last couple of years. There was no delays on the software side. The hardware side, different story. But the software side seems to be more or less on track. The fact that WWDC was 3 weeks later was probably more due to the fact that they had to figure out how to do it than actually the software releases.
Are we getting a bumper... that's my doorbell. Are we getting a bumper event in October, because we're going to get phone, we're going to get Big Sur with all the repetitions of that stuff, and we're going to get the silicon.
And the silicon Mac and announcement.
And Apple silicon Mac.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's when you're going to see Big Sur, because think about it. Mm-hmm. This was all about, there was almost nothing here for Mac users, other than maybe arguably the Apple One. This was all about the portables and the ancillary stuff. That event will be definitely much more focused, I think, on Mac and Big Sur and iPhone.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, bundle the things that you want the biggest attention to, bundle them with the iPhone. And I think this year Apple wants attention for macOS Big Sur because it is a big, I mean, it's going to 11, so it is a big update.
Going to 11, geez. Yeah. Go on, Dave. Go ahead, mate.
I was surprised that iOS 14 came out as quick as it did because they all of a sudden Tim Cook announces during the event, oh yeah, iOS 14 is coming out tomorrow. Like, really? I mean, I didn't think it would be that quick. Usually they gave it a week. So they announce it. I go to my developer account and say, wait, it still says beta 8. Why? I mean, yeah. There's no gold master. I mean, I got used to it. Serious. And then an hour later, the gold master gets published. Mm-hmm. So they were very quick with this. I was very surprised. Mm-hmm. And I know there weren't too many happy developers because they had a shame on them for not having their apps ready. But they were scrambling to get things done and weren't happy that Apple had just done this. So.
Yeah, I mean, every developer who wanted to be there in day one had to basically submit right then and there, like without even much testing. And I mean, I'm just thinking about app review. Like, I mean, they had to do like overtime to do like review all those apps and have them ready for the next day.
Right.
I have a theory why that happened. There was a rumor, like we talked about it, I think, in the Mac show. There was a rumor, like a pretty strong rumor, that there would be an Apple, like a release, hardware release, the week, the Tuesday before. And it never happened. And basically, that day they announced then the event this week. I think that was the original date. I think that was the date where they wanted to announce the hardware, and then it would have been like a week of, like the typical thing, a week of Gold Master, and then the release this week with the hardware. And I think something happened, they had to push it, and that's why they had to do it last minute. And the hardware was already set for this, for today.
Patrice, you said more in the last 14 minutes than you said in the last 6 months.
I don't know. That's not
true. Three or four weeks ago, there was a rumor that said that everything got pushed, and it got pushed until the 28th. So it was, you know, in theory, only a 2 weeks push out. But it's possible. And then, you know, if iOS was ready, it's like, well, we better get iOS ready now. If you let iOS out, you have enough people that get to do what they need to do and make all the little tweaks. So then iOS 14.1 would be ready exactly when it's time to release the phones. And that mitigates less problem when the new hardware comes out. Less problems for people, less problems for support, you know, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, actually, you're right.
And then they released... 14.2 beta the exact next day. So I mean, you got already. I just did my show yesterday, and I was ready to not talk about it in beta. I always tease my co-host, say, "Hey, you're going to be going through beta withdrawal." And then an hour later, or whatever, there's 14.2 in the developer's account. So,
that's a surprising thing.
At a very fast pace.
Yeah, the surprising thing is also 14.2. They skipped one.
Being baked onto the new iPhones.
Yeah.
And 14.2 will be ready to be released right after the new iPhones come out to take care of whatever bugs we have in 14.0 and 14.1.
And, you know, I saw there was so much of the Mac press, the Apple press made about the developers wanted more time, needed more time. I haven't seen one single story, and maybe I've missed them, but I haven't seen one single story about any app not working in 14.
No, 14 itself has some bugs, but I haven't seen any apps that don't work.
Right. So this just is one of those things that I feel like the Mac press jumped on and kind of created part of the problem. I mean, sure, I'm sure the developers would be freaking out, but I think most of the developers have done a good job of having this ready for 14. There may be some little things, but again, not one single specific example.
There was one about, but it's more like it's I wouldn't call it a bug. It's like a slower startup of, I think it, was it pCalc? I don't remember what, I think one of those apps, or one of his apps, like slower start simply, where it takes like an extra second to start, and it's probably something that he could optimize, and if he had time, would have done it. Not a big deal. I mean, the app still works.
I've been running the 14 beta on my phone for a while, and I've had a couple of niggles, but nothing up. And remember specifically nothing where I've gone, all that's completely broken, I can't use it. Like a couple of times where I've opened an app and it's closed itself, but I've opened it again and it's worked.
So
I haven't had major
I've had a great moment with the wife in bed this morning.
Congratulations.
No, because I got
well done you
after 23 years they're not that frequent. 24, shit, I'm in trouble. So I made her update her phone to 14. She had the 10R last year, or at Christmas. And I said, you got to do the update. Why? Security, and there's loads of good stuff in there. She went, oh, right, okay. And this morning, because she's got an obsession with the weather. She wakes up in the morning, and I'm very much like, I peer out through the gap in the blinds and go, okay, it's not pissing down, that'll do. But she opens the phone and she looks at three locations where the weather are and sees what the weather's like. And the last few mornings she does it and she's got the standard iOS 13 view. This morning she wakes up, she's got iOS 14 view and she's like, oh, they've changed the weather. And I'm like, great. That's all you had to do. Like, forget emojis, forget all of the functionality. Just change the weather for me while she's happy. And she said, no, look at it now. She said, it looks good. And I can, so Sharon, that's exactly what Carrot looks like. I'm not downloading Carrot. Well, you got it on Family Share, haven't you? You should have downloaded it because you would have had all this all along. Yeah, but they've got it now. It looks just like it does when you look at the weather. And I'm like, yeah, because they bought Carrot. And she was like, who bought Carrot? Apple bought. And like, I got three sentences into the conversation. I'm kind of like, there's zero point in carrying on with this. Yeah, that looks great, darling. Isn't that fantastic now that they do minute by minute stuff? Yeah, awesome. Mm. So Sharon loves 14 because of the weather.
You, whatever it is that makes people happy with the update, good for them.
Aye. Who's in trouble? They've just restarted.
Patrice.
It's weird that you could still hear that and there was a restart.
Oh, no, it's me Mac Pro.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Okay. Yeah, me Mac Pro's decided to restart beneath the desk. This is the Mac Pro that Don McAllister gave me. Thank you, Don. It's gone into a full reboot. So, and I can't see any of. I can see you all, but not the real time view. So, if Greeny does dial,
and if you are having issues, go to imnmax.com. You can book in there. We'll get it shipped over. We'll have it diagnosed within 48 hours.
So effectively now, if any of you drop off, then I've got real problems because I can't do anything about it because the Mac's frozen.
Professional.
This has been hard this week. Muller, don't do this again.
I'm interested what Brett is thinking about, like, the whole developer side.
I don't develop for iOS. Like, I'm more worried about Big Sur being sprung on me before I'm ready. But I think most developers that were freaking out were ones that were implementing new, like, widget features and hadn't quite perfected their widget views yet. I think as far as stability of the actual apps go, I think most people are in good shape.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. there was definitely an issue where you needed the gold master of Xcode, and that wasn't available yet, so nobody could actually submit that.
Right.
That is problematic,
even,
yes.
App Store Connect was also, like, wasn't really set up for a submission, so it took a little while to sort all of that out.
Mm. Apple Watch Series 6 has started shipping. Some people have got it around the world already. I was disappointed. It's still a fuggly piece of crap, but it's not a piece of crap. But there's a lot of people reporting that the SpO2 function, you've got to place it exceptionally accurately on your wrist. If you don't get it right, it doesn't work.
Mm, I'm surprised about that.
You're not surprised?
No, I mean,
I wonder if there'll be a software update that improves that.
Yeah. But I mean, I know people that have issues with just the heart rate monitor. It, like, even that one can be finicky sometimes. I mean, just don't have any tattoos on your arm. That's not going to work. I'm not surprised about
that.
Have
they not got past that, though? Because that was the black skin issue, wasn't it, when they released the iPhone to start with? Like, it wouldn't take a heartbeat through black skin or tattoos.
Yeah, I think that was the issue, yeah.
So are we saying we're back to the same issue?
Probably, yes.
Mm. That ain't good.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, the next couple of weeks will show. I mean, it's very early, but I wouldn't be surprised. This is a new sensor, like, completely fresh. Yeah. I mean, Apple is even saying like it's not a medical... I mean, they're saying that for liability reasons also, but it's not a medical device.
Right. It's like the blood pressure cuffs you have at home.
It's
a they're not... they're not specifically calibrated, but they give you an idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. Even the stories that they did in the thing where they said that, you know, the phone had saved people's lives, it was only because it was like, okay, this looks a bit abnormal. Go see someone who can go, yeah, mm-hmm. that's abnormal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There was plenty of stories about that. I mean, people having, you know, they got AFib warnings and their heart rate was too high. Gave them a warning. They went and saw a doctor, and sure enough, they had AFib.
Yeah.
It's a good guide, but it's not something that you depend on.
I said that on Twitter to someone. I said it's like it saved people probably the same way as like TV shows like Scraps or House saved people by giving them an idea or like putting like the thought in their minds that it could be something worse and then them actually going and having it checked.
How many people have actually got any of the symptoms that appear in House?
Like, I would be surprised.
You're joking. That was like someone
it's
going
lupus.
It's always lupus until you rule it out. But how many people have actually? Do you know what? I was watching House the other day, and all those symptoms I've been having, where I've been passing out for no reason.
Yeah.
And I got a tape.
It has probably happened.
And I got a tapeworm in my intestine that he pulled out with a pencil.
Can your Apple Watch tell you that?
Yeah. If you turn it inside, it's got X-ray on it, and you can see the tapeworm wrapping around your gut.
Exactly.
Oh, sweet. That's good,
buddies. Yeah.
They didn't advertise that. I don't know why.
Well, yeah, it's a little known feature.
It detects two heartbeats, yours and the tapeworm's.
Yay.
What?
We have a title. I've got no paper. Why have we got no paper?
Use loo roll.
I've got some loo roll next to me, actually, which is, don't ask why. It's my emergency stock because I pay for the toilets to be cleaned here, and Elliot, who owns the unit behind me, he buys the toilet roll. That's the deal. But sometimes he doesn't buy the toilet roll, and I always take this with me just in case I get in there, because the last thing I want to do is get in there and find out that there's nothing to use.
Yeah, that would be awkward.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
Dave's sitting there, and I came here with a reputation.
As much as I know you guys are all going to miss my enlightening contributions, I got to run to catch that insurance adjuster.
Okay, Brett, take it easy, man.
Good to see you, Brett.
Good luck, you, brother. See you, man. Oh.
Take care, Brett.
See you later.
He's gone? No, he's still here. He's gone.
You were,
yes.
Did you find the Andrex?
The Andrex, yes, here. I found a notebook instead. I wrote it in the notebook. we're not Philistines here, mate. iPad then. Discuss iPad while I sit and try and fill Brett's hole.
I shouldn't laugh.
You know what I mean.
I'm not sure what's happening today.
Muller booked too many frigging guests. That's what's happening.
It's fun.
Oh, my God.
I mean... I would say those are two substantial updates to the iPad. Yes. I'm surprised that the new Air is actually like in some areas actually overtaking the Pro. Not in every aspect. Like the Pro still has some extra features and some extra like LiDAR and whatever. But it kind of begs the question when is gonna when the Pro is gonna get updated, because like I said, the Air has some features now that the Pro actually would need and doesn't have, and I think that's very interesting. They definitely close the gap. Basically, why would anybody buy the 11 inch Pro at this point?
They need 120.
Yeah,
they need 120, maybe. And they need more storage.
Yeah, it's probably the only reason.
Yeah, I think Apple is... Sorry, go ahead, Dave.
The max size, I think, was at 256 or on the Air, where you can get 1 terabyte on the Pro.
Yeah, I mean, the Apple needs to be careful, particularly with the upcoming iPhone update, that I think their tendency to try and keep the price separator as being the storage is wrong. They need to start thinking about the connectivity with the micrometer stuff or millimeter wave stuff being the separator as opposed to the storage. Because the internal storage at 256 is probably as cheap to buy a 256. It's probably more expensive to buy a 64 gig to buy a 256 at this point. I think it was really interesting because I watched the other night and I thought that the iPad was a very, very powerful, extremely relevant device on Tuesday night. And I think if you go back 10 months to a year, I think the iPad was struggling as a relevant device. I think it was certain people had it for restaurants and stuff like that, for taking orders. But I think, you know, that just about the time they started What's a Computer thing with the girl in the garden, that's where it started to transform and iPad started to pick up. But I think it was really lackluster up until that point.
I mean,
as you say, about probably 12, 18 months ago, I didn't want an iPad and didn't see the point in having watched the keynote. And now really, really, really want an iPad because they look really good and really useful. Mm-hmm. So,
and powerful.
Yeah, that's the way it's going, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
It's more powerful than, I mean, it's probably at this point more powerful than any Mac or almost any Mac, or maybe other than the Mac Pro and the high-end MacBook Pros. It's definitely more powerful than most PCs. I mean, it's crazy powerful, and this is not even like the end of what this chip can do, I'm pretty sure.
Lady, you disrespecting my 10-core 16-gigabyte video card screamer over here.
Oh, that one, I mean, that one might still be better, but it you have to go high-end.
This is faster than a Mac Pro right now.
Yeah, you have to go, but you have to go high-end to beat the iPad, and that is the crazy part.
But you also have got to see more app development to take advantage of those things. And you're seeing it, don't misunderstand. You're seeing it, but you're going to need to see more to really have it truly achieve that position. Yeah.
The only thing I think that really pushes it to its limit and does an amazing job actually is LumaFusion. I don't see too much other stuff pushing it that hard.
Yeah, maybe some games here and there.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah. I don't play games.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do any of the photo editing for the filters and everything, does that push it? Because I don't do that on my iPad. But
no, not really. Lightroom can handle it well enough as it is. But the LumaFusion, like, there was a point before I got this machine. Like, this is my 2017 iMac. This is the new one. I could edit the basics of the 4K in LumaFusion really quickly and take that XML and the files, spit it across, you know, AirDrop to the iMac, and then finish it in Final Cut. And it was faster than doing it all in Final Cut. But now with the new machine, Final Cut just runs circles. This thing is crazy fast.
Yeah. It's, but I mean, what is very interesting to me is, I mean, what does that say about what the Apple Silicon Macs will be able to do? I mean, we're assuming more cores. We're assuming because of cooling, they can and more power, they can go higher, like higher frequencies and so on. So, I mean, how screaming fast are they going to be?
Well, they're going to be ridiculous. They're absolutely going to be ridiculous. And it's funny, like in my DJ's live stream, everybody's all freaked out. It's like, well, what about if Serato is going to work or whatever? I'm like, you got to remember, these apps already work on the iPad. Mm-hmm. And they go, yeah, but every time they transition, like they break all the music apps or whatever. I go, yeah, but this time it's different because the majority of those apps already work on the iPad. And if it already works on the iPad, there's basically nothing to do to make it work on the new, you know, processor, because it's basically the same thing. The hardest part is going to be like reformatting the screen to be more free flowing. You know what I mean? Reformatting your display windows, put it that way. And that's nowadays they have Layout Manager, which kind of sort of does majority of the heavy lifting. And then you just go in and fix all the tweaks. So. Mm-hmm. I'm like, most of those apps will be ready day one.
Yeah, I mean, some stuff will probably break, as always. Some companies will typically not do it.
The Final Cut demo on the silicon was just like, what? Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah. Well, and this is another example of if the two OSs are moving together, or at least there are a lot more bridges being built, this is one of the advantages, that mm-hmm. you're going to be able to see those that back and forth and those transitions a whole lot easier.
All of this happens headless makes much more sense.
Patrice, a while ago in the chat room, you put that there's certain features that are going to be available on Silicon that aren't going to be available on Intel, though.
Yeah, and I mean, mostly that is running running iOS apps on the Mac. Obviously, that requires an ARM-based Mac.
Yeah.
So that's not going to work on Intel. That's at least the one feature I remember that's definitely not going to be available. I think there were some other under-the-hood differences between on the file system level and so on between the two Macs.
Is there no one sitting fearing the move away from Intel here? We all remember the IBM chip, so you know what? Is there no one sitting going?
I'm absolutely terrified.
Was just saying while you were gone that like everybody in my DJ community, they're all freaked out, but that's because we normally get abused by hardware changes and even just OS changes. Like the music people are normally slow, but I was also stating that the majority of those apps already work on iPad now. The difference here is we've had almost 12 years of already writing stuff for that. It's not the same as when we switched to Intel.
There was a massive...
There was 5 years, but 12 is different.
Around the end of... from Snow Leopard to Lion, there was a massive drop-off of drivers for audio equipment particularly. And it all of a sudden, there was just... I mean, I had a Tascam mixer that I'd had for 8 months, and Tascam said, we're not writing a driver for Lion, and that was that. And it, all of a sudden, bang, it's not working anymore. And it's like, just paid £699 for a mixer that no longer works. And it's still sat up in my loft, hoping that one day I can get someone to write a driver for it, perhaps. But it was the worst excesses of wasteful lack of environmental policy that seemed to exist. And the thing that worries me about going to the new chips is there could be a lot of manufacturers go, do you know what? We're not writing anything for it. And then all of a sudden, everything just falls off a cliff. And I've got to say, I've been concerned because there's a legacy message keeps coming up with stuff constantly on my desktop every time I start. And it's like, this is going to drop off. This is going to drop off. You're not going to be able to do this. This hasn't got anything in. And okay, Blackmagic, are probably going to write a driver that's going to take up the legacy issue that comes up on my screen. But those messages have made me sit and think, do you know what? There's a lot of stuff I may have bought that doesn't seem to want to work anymore.
Well, two things on the audio standpoint, most drivers don't exist anymore.
You're seeing that?
I've got Catalina at the moment. But I'm getting, when I start stuff up, I'll start some programs, particularly like Blackmagic for the Intensity Shuttle Pro, that the camera runs off. It comes up with a message and it says, this is a legacy item. This will be gone in future updates. I mean, credit to Apple. They're warning people well ahead in advance. Be careful because this may not work after you get this. I'm sure Blackmagic will create something, but I'm sure there's an awful lot of manufacturers who won't create a new driver.
Yeah.
Well, two things. The Shuttle Pro is a legacy device. Let's start there. again, like in the audio space, most of the stuff doesn't need drivers anymore. One of the things that happened in that transition was the full commitments to like sort of USB and what USB was going to entail. And one of the things that really happened well was the universal audio drivers, the core audio drivers. So for audio equipment at this day, most stuff doesn't need a driver. Mm-hmm. Even the reason why I bagged you on the Legacy Pro, because this is...
But I'm not talking about the item being legacy. I'm talking about the fact that the software is showing as legacy.
No, and I'm saying the reason why, though, is because I have one, too. I have the Intensity and the Express Dock, you know, the original Thunderbolt adapter, mm-hmm. and then the Intensity cards. And so what happens is when they came up with the new stuff that basically runs off a USB off of the core video segment, it doesn't require any drivers at all. So even the ATEM doesn't require a driver. Like, you just plug this sucker in and it works. So I understand why it's difficult for them to go back and like have to write that stuff, because for the 3 years that this has been out and a year and a half that this has been out. It's like we have stuff that's extremely cheap that doesn't require drivers that eclipses what those things used to do. So they, you know what I mean? Like you're fighting to make that work when you can replace it for $100 and do better at 4K, 60.
Yeah, but that's environmentally, that's a landfill policy, which is not good.
Yeah, I mean, it's also like nobody pays for this for the driver update. So there's always the incentive to say, I mean, it's a balance, but it's always the incentive to say, well, nobody's paying for this, so we're not doing it, or we're doing it in whatever, a year when we have time, when we get around to it, and then that never happened. It's always a little bit of a problem.
And that's something again, I'd like right, to see change. I'd like to see somebody say, okay, you know, we will update this driver. It's going to cost you $50. It's going to cost you $100. But if you're talking about a $400, $500, $600 piece of equipment or more, yeah, you'd happily pay that as opposed to having to go and replace that equipment. I'm with Doc on what he's saying, but I also think that that's something that it'd be interesting to see to have a manufacturer do that. And experiment and see what kind of response they get from their customer base.
I've got a Tascam mixer upstairs, which is USB, and it was brilliant. It had auto faders on it. It was gorgeous, and I'd gladly have paid £50 to have it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Parallels, it's not hardware, but Parallels is doing that every year because they have to make changes because they're usually very deep into the operating systems. They have to adapt to the new OSs. Every year, you have to pay for it. You can keep the old version running and it works. And if you have a subscription, you get the new version automatically. But the old version works on the old old software.
Another thing.
And suddenly we're about to have a conversation about subscription software. Should drivers be subscription, or should you be able to pay for something like that? Because you're right, and that's a really interesting example, Patrice. That you know, there's a piece of software that you have to pay for one way or the other to keep it going. Is there a piece of hardware that you should have to pay for one way or the other to keep it going?
Okay, so we got to come back to my original point, though. Like, just top of mind right now, I'm just having a hard time, so maybe I'm stupid. I have all of this stuff sitting on my desk connected to this machine, right? I have my Evo 4. I have my Stream Deck. I have my Thunderbolt 3 dock. I have my ProSonus automatic fader switchy thing over here. The ATEM, not a single piece of equipment on the desk uses a driver. Not a single piece of equipment on the desk uses a driver. What uses a driver today?
No. So the Blackmagic Intensity Shuttle here, I don't think that uses a driver. I think that would work. But the problem is that you need the software that Blackmagic provide in order to take it from 1080p out of the camera into 1080i so that it'll work in Wirecast. It's a conversion software, so I don't think it's the, and it's the.
No, I remember.
It's the legacy extension that they keep warning about. It's not the hardware.
Okay, so an extension is a driver, in a sense, right? That's what Mac people call drivers, right? But we mean a piece of software that you have to run in order to make the hardware absolutely work. And most of the stuff uses the core functionalities that are built into, you know, USB and Thunderbolt now, they're actually even taking it away from the operating system. And that's how everything is quote unquote Mac and PC compatible for the most part out of the gate. There are weird stragglers, but the most general hardware you buy, audio, video, whatever, they're Mac and PC out the gate without anything special. Actually, PC has the fight because a lot of guys have to use ASIO where we don't need to use ASIO because of Core Audio. So, and to the landfill point, there's another thing about that. The new stuff, because of the way it's built, uses so much less power than stuff from, say, even 3-4 years ago. So is it more harmful for the environment to use more electricity or more harmful for the environment to have to melt down some plastic and mercury and gold? And so it becomes a weird, like a longer conversation than it's just, you know what I mean? It's just throwing stuff away. I think everything that's made probably within the last 5 years were good. Anything older than 5 years, it becomes a conversation of in computers, like how tight are we going to have to keep that window? And that was the conversation about these, right? You know, not being more than 3 or 4 years. So it's kind of a waste.
Jeff, in your best Alec Guinness, I need to say that there'll be a moment after the release of Big Sur as if the world cried out in pain.
All right, give it to me again so that I get your words right.
I don't know. I probably misquoted the line wrong there. As in the blowing up of Alderaan. There's a moment. It's as if a moment where after the release of Big Sur, where the whole world cried out in pain.
Ah, that's right. Okay. I have felt a great disturbance in the Force. It is as if everyone that installed Big Sur around the world cried out in pain.
That's actually really good.
I'm stressed.
dude, your Alec Guinness is not bad. Mate, you've been hiding that under a bushel, buddy. You've got to get that out a bit more.
Yeah, well, now see, here's the thing. I really can't tell if you're being serious.
I'm just saying
that, so I'll keep doing it so that you can have the awesome laugh. Either way is okay.
No. Okay, right. Guys, hands up. Who thinks that's better than Greenies?
I don't know I've never listened to Greenies, but...
Oh, trust me. I've never listened to Greenies ever. You'd raise your hand. But
I know Greenies, so that hands up.
And who thought that was actually not far off? Oh, okay, just me. Right.
No, me too.
No, I thought it was not far off, mate. Well done.
Yeah.
We're not taking the piss. I was going to talk about the one story as well, but we're at 56 minutes and I really just can't be arsed.
Okay, we'll talk about it next time. I think it's a big, important story.
I think it's quite... I think the family one is pretty good, actually, but the only problem is you can't dictate the amount of storage on it, which is a bit shit.
Yes, you can. You can upgrade.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, actually, but then you've got to get the premiere, haven't you? If you want more...
No.
Go on.
It's on the site. You can upgrade any of the plans, come with a standard, and you can upgrade the storage if you need more.
Right, okay.
And you will actually be able to even go to 4 terabytes, which is surprising.
So I can do the 1995 for family, which is well worth it, except I get arcade, which I don't want. And I pay $6.99 at the moment I'll pay $14.99 for family music. I don't pay anything for the TV because we've only just bought a device. And I pay $6.99 for 2 terabytes of storage, and I don't pay for arcade because it's shit. Should I move to the family plan for $19.95 and add a bit of extra storage?
Yeah. Oh, I did my calculation, and it comes out way better, and I don't have a family plan, so even going to premium, I would save a grip. But in theory, I could just get family plan and add more storage, because I have 2 terabytes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
for me, it depends. Individual plan, I can get that, and then pay the extra money to have the storage that I currently have. I will end up paying exactly the same as I do right now for the individual things that I get, but it'll add in Apple Arcade, which, you know, sometimes I might play a game, sometimes not.
Yeah,
you can basically get it for free. You don't care, but you get it for free.
Yeah.
Well, okay, because actually now it depends on what the upgrade is from the 200 gigs to the 2 terabyte, because family is $19.99. And if taking it to 2 terabytes as the other $10, well, you should have just got Premiere, and then I would get news and fitness added on.
Yeah, the difference
for the
right
exact
now is
same price.
Yeah, huh? the difference between 200 and 2 terabyte is $7 right now.
Well, that's dumb. I'd rather pay
that's what I'm currently paying.
No. I'm sorry. I'd rather pay the extra $3 and then go ahead and get news and fitness.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. That's the best way it works. Yeah, why it works. But as I said, like, don't have to.
Yeah, but I'm paying $14.99 for music. I'm paying $6.99 for 2 terabytes of storage, which is the same.
Yeah.
So and I don't have to pay for Apple TV at the moment because I've got a device and I've got about another 10 months to run on that.
Mm-hmm.
So. It's not worth me moving at the minute.
Might not be worth it for you. I mean, unless you actually want news and...
Because for the same amount, I'll end up going back to 200 gig. It's not...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but as I said, that's on their website. You can upgrade. And as I said, you can even upgrade to 4 terabytes now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that. 4 terabytes. Yeah.
They mentioned it somewhere. I'm not sure. It's only for the premiere. That wasn't very clear. I guess we will have to see. But they are offering an extra 2 terabyte update on top of the 2 terabyte you can have.
I'll take the 4 terabyte. I don't see it on the site, the 4 terabyte, though.
I've got to say, though,
it's mentioned somewhere.
The cloud storage has got to get a selective, a user-operated sync process, because there's files I use every single day. And actually, Apple's pretty good at chucking the stuff up that I don't use and saying, no, you have to re-download this if you want to use this because you haven't touched it in a while. It's not bad, but there's a few files, enough to make me go, I wish it did this, where I can just go, no, keep this always on this computer. Don't ever, even if I don't go into it, never show it up to the cloud and leave it there.
If you right-click on it and you tell it to download, I believe it stays. It doesn't mess with it again.
That's what I think, yeah.
No, I think
I'm pretty positive.
If you don't touch it for a while, it still goes back.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah.
That's my perception anyway. I could be wrong. My perception's
a weird. Yeah, I don't know what Big Sur is doing in this area. I haven't checked.
I rarely know what's actually happening around. this podcast and all this is brought to you by TSO Host. They're a great bunch of people. They give us 2 massive servers that let us do all of this rubbish and post it and host it forever. They've got a big sale on at the moment on servers. You won't get any offer codes on that. BTN20 will not help you out because the prices are unbelievable. So get yourself down there and check out if you want VPS or if you want a dedicated server. They've got lots of options for you. Check them out. You can get a server with WordPress hosting for £12 a year. So it's not bad at all. Anything that you put in your basket, though, that's not servers, that's hosting-oriented, BTN20 gets you 20% off. Don't forget, please, people, this network relies on these people sponsoring us. They pick up all of our costs. So you need to get out there and make sure you get on the socials. Say thanks at TSO Host for supporting at British Tech, because without them, we are stuffed. We'll go off the air. Next one, IMN Max. We love these boys. They send us a co-host every week in the form of Callum for his inspired comment. Joe, Mo, and Fran are back at the back at HQ watching. Hello to them. These are great. They will repair your Mac. Anything with a logo on it that's Apple will get repaired, and a few that aren't as well as. If you've got a problem, send it to them. They'll sort it out. They have recently repaired one of Doc's mates, or recovered some data from one of Doc's mates' iPhones, which is great, from Hawaii. That's a global organization now. And there's an awful lot of BTN listeners have sent them their stuff to sort out, some with some success. One of the ones that I sent out a driver was unsuccessful, but that's the nice thing. If they're doing a data recovery for you, they don't charge you unless they recover the data. So you've got nothing to pay if it doesn't work. And also they do refurbished machines. So you can send in your old machines and get paid for it, and they'll get the user parts off it as donor items. But anything that you get from them as a user machine, you'll get 6-month warranty with it. And Callum, have we got a machine of the week?
Yes, so what we've got this week is actually an old MacBook Pro 13-inch. So it's going very cheap, so I believe we're selling it for £350. It comes, again, still with a 6-month warranty. We've popped an SSD in it, standard. Ideal if you just need to use it for a bit of email, a bit of web browsing, or maybe something for the kids for homework or something like that. So one that we've had for a little while, so we are looking to offload it, if you like. So, everything we've got is on our website. So if you head over to imnmax.com, everything will be there. And also, as well, you talking about we don't charge if we don't recover data. We don't charge if we don't fix anything. So even if you bring us a device, we're unable to fix it, it won't cost you a penny. And that includes us shipping it as well.
That's really cool. Really cool, mate. Thank you. Excellent, and thanks for the support of the network. We really do appreciate it. And I say quite a few of you have actually used IMN Max, and if there had been any complaints, I would have heard about it, because you lot complain a lot about me. We had no complaints at all. Right, time for the cool thing. Start us off, Dr. Rock.
Okay, so I was trying to get you a link. Hold on, let me send you a link to the chat real quick. I wanted to talk about an application that I use pretty much like 3 times a week, and it is, to me, one of the coolest things. One of these days, we're going to get you and caught up. I use an app called Restream.io. What's really cool about Restream is it allows me to take my videos. I can either do live ones or I can do recorded videos, and I can send them to multiple platforms at one time. As a matter of fact, I can send it up to 30 different platforms at one time. So in taking my 4K 60 stream out of my cam links, I currently have four cam links connected to this machine. I basically send that information to Restream at 4K 60. Restream takes it and pulls it down to the 720 that Facebook wants, the 1080 that Twitch wants. 4K still goes to YouTube. Periscope sends another 1080, and it does all of that transcoding and processing on itself. It sends it out to all of those environments at one time. The other thing that's cool, as users interact on the individual platforms, it shows up to me in a single chat window. So like we have the IRC here, instead of doing that, sending people to a place, they can actually interact from whatever they're watching on. I see all of those comments, and I'm able to pull those comments on screen with my streaming software. So Restream is pretty cool. If you're into any live or pre-recorded stuff or trying to do a virtual webinar and you want to have it go to as many platforms as possible, and you only have to send one signal, that's the way to do it. Check out Restream at restream.io. I do have a affiliate link I can send you, but yeah. Anyway.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Cool. Jeffrey, what have you got for us?
Mine isn't going to cost you any money unless you want it to. It's Matthew Casanelli's Shortcuts Catalog webpage. And he's done some updates to the various shortcuts he's made now that iOS 14 is out. And you can just go and get any of the shortcuts or actions that he's made. And they're free. But he does have a subscription option where you get like detailed information about each of the shortcuts. You can get early access to content. And there's some other things that you get along with that as well. But he has an awesome collection of shortcuts that he's made. And here you go. Now you can have access to all of them for free.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Good, cool thing. David, did Jeff warn you about the cool thing?
He didn't, but I already come up with something for you.
Good man.
I really like SetApp. SetApp.com. That has a great...
What is this?
Never heard of it.
I didn't think you did, but I figured, what the heck? I just came up with it right at the last minute here. I've been using SetApp for quite a while. I'm sure many of you have as well. Got a lot of great catalog of apps that are on the Mac, as well as they just added iOS, which I think was really exciting. I talked about this on my show as well. So far they've only have about 9 apps. Looks like they added a new one for learning and organizing formed words and efficiency. But my favorite apps that I use all the time is News Explorer. I use that to look at all the news that's on there all the time. Use Downy so you can download media from the web. Oh, I think that's a great app. And they have just such an immense catalog of apps for the Mac and now with iOS. So pricing's not too terribly expensive. You know, you're talking monthly around $10 US a month. You can buy an annual plan, save 10% off. But I think SetApp's a great suite to take advantage of the apps in them. You guys are laughing. I'm assuming you've talked about this many times before.
No. Well, yes. Basically, remember the Apple ad? There's an app for that on BTN. And it's on SetApp.
No, we get people come and they bring a cool thing, and then someone will go, you know, that's on SetApp, right? And they're like, no. We had SetApp on about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. Maria came down.
I did watch that.
Yeah, Marina came down and told us all about the stuff that was coming up. And about the team stuff that's about to happen as well, which looks really exciting for them. So, yeah, we love SetApp on this show. Really love it. Really love
it. Glad I brought it up again.
Great pick, mate. Absolutely. Callum, what have you got for us?
What I've got is basically, if I find my link, it's an install disk creator that I've been using. Basically, what I've done this week, I've been gathering installers going right back to Lion, and I've got now installers from Lion all the way up to Big Sur.
Oh, nice.
And I was trying to find an easy way to get them onto memory sticks. You can do it in the terminal, but it's not too difficult. But I found this app, and literally, you plug the memory stick in, you pick the installer you want, and it just does it. It's really, really handy. It's free. Yeah, and I've got 10 memory sticks all with installers. I brought back to line, which is neat. So
you probably had a harder job trying to find 4 gig sticks somewhere.
yeah, 2 gig memory stick, yeah.
But I don't need 32 gig.
Cal, have you ever made Zilla?
Big sir?
Sorry?
Were you able to get it?
You're breaking up there, Dave. Say again. You broke up then, Dave. Say again.
So were you able to get it to work with... Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Yes.
Ooh, go on.
Okay, I'm sorry. Were you able to get it to work with Big Sur? Because I was not.
Making an installer.
Yeah, it
worked for me, but okay. I haven't tried to use the installer yet. I will stress that.
Yeah. He's actually got a bag of bananas right in there, but yeah.
Cal, have you tried making an install Zilla? So
no.
This drive right here has all the installers going back to like 2010, and they're just all various partitions on a single drive. And yeah, I started out with Diskmaker X or Lion Diskmaker or whatever they call it now is Diskmaker X, and got it kind of sort of going, and then the rest of it ended up doing it in Terminal. But yeah, all the installers on one little portable SSD.
I've got a 1 terabyte SSD as well that has all of the pre-installed OSs on as well. So basically, if I want to do it a different way, I can literally plug it in and clone over the pre-installed OS. I just did that in Disk Utility and Carbon Copy Clone.
That's the way.
There's all sorts of neat things you can do with them.
Cool. Chuck, what have you got for us, man?
I've got a Mac app that I think is really cool. It's called Bumper, without the last E, B-U-M-P-R. And what it does is you load this app, and then if you click on a link, it pops up a little menu and lets you figure out which browser you want to open it in, assuming you have all the browsers installed on your machine. And it does the same thing with email links. So if you have an email that you want to send, you click that, and you can send it to whichever email apps that you have on your Mac. And this, to me, has really been super helpful during this time, because there are some things that I want to keep completely separated from work and home. And a lot of us are working from home. And so this way I can, for example, I try to open all my work apps or work links and everything in Google, and then try to open everything else in Safari. And this way it lets me pick that. And I also have Firefox and Opera installed, so I still have those options as well. It's seamless. It's not sending any information out. It is all self-contained, and it works like a charm. It's one of those things that I have an idea, as the more I use it, I'm going to forget it's there, and it's just going to become almost part of the OS. Yeah, so it's you can find it at getbumper.com.
Excellent.
I've just brought it.
Good lad. Like that.
It's in setup.
It's in setup.
No, I'm joking.
All right.
No, it's not, because I was checking while Chuck was talking.
First thing I did was scroll to the bottom of the page to look for the setup logo, and it wasn't there, so I assumed it wasn't. You had me, Doc. Patrice, what have you got for us?
So I'm going to go for a theme this week. If you have listened to the big show, you know I picked a like spy book, basically. The book I'm picking on the Mac show is Deep Undercover. If you've ever heard about Jack Barsky, he was like a Russian spy, lived in the US, basically dropped off the KGB's payroll like in the late 80s, I think, and then eventually got discovered by the FBI. And I think like somewhere in the, I want to say 2010s, there was like a 60 Minutes story about him and so on. This is his book, and it's really, really, really interesting to see how he made it, even how stupid some things were that he had to deal with, like how little sometimes the Russian side understood even how things worked in America. It's just a very entertaining book. I don't know how true it is. It is his story as he tells it. He was from Eastern Germany, so it's very interesting. I listened to it in Audible, and the narrator is, like, I mean, obviously American. So he struggled with the German names and German cities and so on. It was very interesting. But it's just a very, very, very good book. I basically, like, listened to it in more or less almost one straight go. Like, I think maybe over 2 days. It was that good. Skipped all the podcasts. Usually I listen to my podcasts and do audiobooks in between. I skipped all the podcasts for like 2 days and just did that book. It is really good. It's also available, obviously, in print, but I can also recommend the audio version of it. I have no clue what it costs, but probably like $10 or something.
One credit?
One credit, exactly. That's what I did. That's a really good book.
If you sign up at audible.com/twit.
Yeah. No, it is a really good book, and it's interesting because it is the other side. Like, usually you hear the stories about the CIA people and, like, all of that, and like how they were in Russia and all the other countries. This is the other way around, how spying in US worked, at least according to him.
Yeah, the thing, the Damian Lewis series that's on Netflix here. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy that because it's got like a story from the US about how they caught one of their own spies. And then it's got one from the Soviets and some of the stuff that the Soviets pulled and stuff like that. And it was like, wow, you know, and the brutality as well of the fact that, you know, mm-hmm. once you're a Soviet spy, you're a marked person. You know, whereas the Americans will put you in jail maybe, or they'll just let you go and live in the States, in the USSR. But you know, there is nowhere safe. You're a traitor. It's a really good some of the stories from behind the Iron Curtain are just blood curdling.
Absolutely. It was very interesting. He basically, how he left the KGB without getting killed is he told them he had HIV, and then they were like, oh no, you're dead to us.
Yeah, no, it's really good. My cool thing is The Boys on Amazon Prime Video. I latched on to this literally in the last 2 days. I was at home, and this morning I had a thing to do, and I woke up feeling a bit rough because I got a sore throat. So I thought, no, I'm just going to stay at home this morning. And I put The Boys on, and I have to say I am blown away. What a fantastic TV series. It is everything that The Mutants would have been if Marvel had thought about it, because it's just like you got all these superpowers, and you're going to do good. When actually, no, what you're going to do is get all the people together who've got the superpowers, and you're going to create a massive mega corporation that then extorts the rest of the world, which is probably more likely what would actually happen. I've given nothing away there. You get that idea right from the start. It is absolutely brilliant. I'm only halfway through season one, so no spoilers, please. And they're already starting to show season two on Amazon Prime, but on video. But you must watch it. The Boys on Amazon Prime Video. It is brilliant. I really enjoyed it. It uses a word that I won't use too often in there, and I don't like that. But there's a bit of nudity and a bit of sexual content as well. So it's not for the faint-hearted, but it's brilliant. The twists are excellent. I'm only up to episode 5 now, so I'm really enjoying it.
I absolutely love The Boys.
Season one
was amazing, and season two, it takes this and then it just ramps it up. So for all of the oh my god moments you have in season one, you will have even more in season two.
Yeah, no, that's good. No spoils. Where can we get a hold of you, Doc?
You can find me all over the internet at DOCROCK. Right now, the best place to find me is on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/DocRock.
Thanks, man. Excellent. See you next week.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Jeff, where would you be?
I am on Twitter and Instagram. I am Jay Gamut both places. And I am hosting a panel on automation at SearchCon, which is coming up in just a couple of weeks, right at the beginning of October.
Nice.
And I think it's searchcon.events. Hold on. Events. Yes, searchcon.events. So yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to the conference.
Excellent, mate. Thank you. David, how are you feeling after all this?
I feel great. I had a lot of fun. I appreciate you having me on the show. I did.
We haven't scared you away then. You know, you're going to come back?
Ah, I'd be happy to come back.
Oh, that's not what most people say. Thanks, man. where can everyone get a hold of you, Dave?
Well, I'm on Twitter at DaveG65, and of course, find me on my podcast, In Touch with iOS, at intouchwithios.com. I just uploaded a new episode about an hour ago, so be able to listen, and there's a place to stay to find me.
Excellent, mate. Thank you for coming along. I hope you return. Mr. Joyner, I know I don't need to ask you that because I know you're inured to this rubbish. So where can everyone get a hold of you, mate?
I wouldn't miss it. I wouldn't miss it. You can find me at macvoices.com. That's where we talk about a lot of tech stuff with a lot of interesting people. And you can find me on Twitter and usually pretty much any other social media as at Chuck Joyner.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, always, mate. Love having you on. Callum, where would you be?
Yeah, so you can get hold of us and everything we do at imamax.com. We are at imamax on all the usual socials. You can drop us an email at info@imamax if you've got any questions. I'm in the Slack room, and it's at O'Hara Callum on Twitter. If you've got any questions, anything you need or want, feel free to reach out to any of us on any platform. Brilliant. And a pleasure to be here as always.
Thanks, man. And last but by no means least, Patrice, where are you?
Yeah, as always, I'm here every week on the Mac Show and the Big Show. All the links of everything, socials or whatever, on thepatrice.com. And my podcast is Foodie Flashback, where we talk about food and food-related memories and everything that goes with that. And I just released this week an episode with MacCast, with Adam. A really interesting episode. Some very surprising things in there that I didn't think about, like think I would learn about him. And the next one will be with Chris Ashley. So thank
you. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Forward to that one as well.
I'll be looking forward to that one. That's good.
All barbecue.
Yeah, for whatever. Barbecue. He's promised to out a recipe as well, a rub recipe.
Mm-hmm.
My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network at British Tech. If you want to know where the links were from the stories that we put in and the cool things, then go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and you'll see all of the pseudo show notes. Don't click on any of Muller's though. And we'll be back again next week with the Mac Show as normal. I'm going away now to make up a page that goes behind me here that's got room for 20 people because that was fun. Have a great weekend. It started about an hour and a half ago for us. Thanks for listening.